have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Well, God bless you. God bless you and God bless you. Thank God for the opportunity to join together again tonight for Making Marriage Meaningful. I'm so elated that you are joining us. I am your host, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., and I am so looking forward to tonight's discussion, so looking forward to sharing with you on tonight what is in my heart. Let me make this disclaimer. I do not claim to be a relationship expert. Neither do I claim to know it all about relationships. I've just been through some things concerning relationships and marriage that has, if you will, did some things to me that has taught me some things. And I believe that by these things, I'm able to share with you things that will help you not to fall into some of the pitfalls and not to make some of the choices, or to better yet, make better choices. That is the intent of my heart. Secondly, I want to put this disclaimer out there that this conversation is, as often said, it is quite unscripted because the conversation is raw. There's nothing here sugarcoated. It is absolutely real, nothing fictitious. But at the end of the day, it's relevant. You're going to find something that you can identify with as we share in this particular podcast tonight. So why don't you call your friend, your neighbor, your loved one, let them know that Making Marriage Meaningful is on the air. Now, I never do this conversation by myself. God has blessed me with some wonderful people, with some wonderful insight, with some wonderful testimonies. Some are from being married now. Some have been married and are divorced. Some have been married and widowed. Some have been married more than once. At the end of the day, there is stuff that can be shared based upon the Word of God and even from some being transparent that we like to share with you. So we're going to see who's here tonight, and we're going to go from there. Let me start with this woman of God who joins us quite frequently, and she always has something good to say. I'm talking about the one, the only, Apostle Felicia Flythe. Are you here tonight, woman of God?
Hola.
¿Qué pasa?
¿Cómo está?
Muy bien, Ebu. Lord Jesus, bless her heart. Let me see. Reverend Billy Gabriel, join us. You joining us tonight, sir? Reverend Billy, are you here tonight? Okay, that's unusual. What about you, Brother Chuck? Are you here tonight? Well, to God be the glory. I know that the producer is here. That is Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Dr. Kimmy, hello. How are you? Say something to us tonight.
I'm doing good. How about you?
All is well. Good to hear your voice. Thank God for you. Thank God for
Amen.
You. Amen. We are excited tonight about you joining us. And so it's going to be the two of you with myself. And we're going to expect God to share some things with us on tonight. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, how about you do this tonight? Won't you do the honors of leading us in a word of prayer?
Absolutely. We can go to the Father in prayer.
Amen.
Father God, thank you once again for another good day. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to talk about making marriage meaningful. We know that you formed the first marriage, and Father God, we know everything that comes to you is all good. We must continue on following your laws and your precepts so that we could continue on making marriage meaningful so that you be pleased. And I thank Apostle Irvin Whitlow for this wonderful podcast, and you know, to be uplifting to those who are seeking to be married and what it takes to be married and stay married. And we make these wonderful prayers in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. All right, let me read the scripture to you tonight, and we will go from there. We've been in this scripture now for almost a month now, and we want to continue in it until the Lord says otherwise. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after the year was expired, the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof, the king's house. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself. The woman was very beautiful to look upon. A word of God for the people of God. We have begun this discussion, help, I'm toxic. We've been dealing with ignoring the signs. This is several things that we are noticing that David did that is similar to things that are happening in marriages today. We found out that, first of all, he had an issue of negligence, which is an issue in marriages. He omits certain things, failure to take proper care in doing something. We talked about him not being accountable or responsible. Negligence. Then we talked about him as in his achievement because he's now the king. And how he now, because he accomplished something, that he doesn't sense the need to do anything more. Last week we talked about restlessness. We talked about restlessness, the inability to rest or relax as a result of anxiety or boredom. And we talked about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is ADHD, which may have been something that was an issue in his life. But what we were looking at are these things that are toxic, which is behavior that adds negativity and upsetting to one's life. It adds negativity. That's behavior that adds negativity and is upsetting to one's life. So some of the things that we've seen here, we can understand why it would be considered toxic to a marriage, to a relationship, because there are certain things that are needed for a marriage to work, for a relationship to work. We've talked about commitment. We've talked about communication. We've talked about contribution. We've talked about consistency, and we've talked about compromise. In this setting, there are things that David had completely ignored. And so when I'm reading this, the Lord begins to show me more and more things. And so we talked again about negligence. We talked about the achievement. We talked about restlessness. But I want to look back at verse 2, and it came to pass in an evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. So we understand he was restless because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to doing, so he felt out of place. He felt restless, like he needed to do something. And there are people who are in relationships, in marriages, that they don't know how to have downtime. They don't know how to sit back, how to relax. They don't know how to chill. And so they become restless, and restless is not a good thing because it can get you into places you don't need to be in. But the other thing that we notice is that the Bible says from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. The woman was very beautiful to look upon. Tonight we want to talk about something that exists in a lot of marriages and a lot of relationships that is extremely toxic, and that is lust. That's a word that a lot of people don't want to hear, a word that a lot of people don't want to talk about or be bothered with. But lust It is defined. Well, before I even give you my definition, I want somebody to tell me, what does lust mean to you? Lust. Come on, Dr. Kimmy, tell me, what does lust mean to you?
Before I say anything, guess what you forgot to do? You forgot to mention Elette. He's on as well.
Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. is on.
Yeah,
what?
You forgot
I've been
to
here
mention
from the
him
beginning.
Today.
From
wow.
the very beginning
that
I figured I would
yep.
wait.
Wow, I'm so amazed. He ain't been here in about a month, so I didn't think he was coming.
No, 2 weeks to be exact.
No, three?
Two, actually.
Well, God bless you, sir. Welcome tonight. Good to hear your voice. So since you're here, what in your mind, when you hear the word lust, what do you think?
Greedy longings of the mind, a strong desire for something that you should not have as an ordinary supplement.
Okay, okay. Come on, Dr. Kennedy, what do you think? When you think of lust, what do you think?
Wanting something that is not a substance, something that is just temporarily, something that's just a feel-good, like you just see it and you just want it, and then you no longer desire it. So it's like it's a short-term desire. It's a short-term want. You're
short-term.
Fascinated. Yeah. In most cases.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Apostle Flife?
Yes.
Answer the question.
Question. I think that, lusting is coming from flesh. Like, You desire for something that you know, again, like everybody said, that you shouldn't have, but you want it anyway, and you'll go to certain levels to get it. You'll do certain things to get it. You'll say certain things to get it. You don't get it because that's what you want. But it's a fix. It's a because I was lusting some ice cream and I got some.
Lord Jesus.
It was just
Lord
so
Jesus.
Cold going down my throat.
Oh, God. Cardi B is on.
I got it, but I'm going to pay for it later on in the night.
I think Cardi B just showed up.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
pay
for
it later on
with that
in the night.
Yeah, Lord Jesus.
Well, you know, I showed, baby, let me call my baby daddy right quick. Oh, please.
Lord have mercy. Help her.
Yeah. Lord Jesus, I'm praying. But look at this. Lust is a longing, especially for what is forbidden. That's what you said. It's a desire or craving is to set the heart upon something. The easiest way to define lust is to covet. The easiest way to define lust is to covet. And the Bible tells us, thou shalt not. So let's think about this. If the Bible says thou shalt not covet, is it just talking about things or is it talking about people as well?
Come on, ladies.
It's talking about people as well. I mean, people, places, and things. It's talking about things and people. Why would you want to, I know it's wrong to, y'all, that ice cream was so good. Oh, my gosh.
Lord Jesus.
But, it's just like y'all know, I talk about my baby dad all the time because he's just so sick to me. But, If I'm not in his presence or he's not in mine, and a good smelling man walk by, I'm not lusting after him, but I might like his cologne, and it might spark something. Be like, dang, I miss my baby. Let me call him. I'm still lusting. In reality, I'm still lusting because I'm desiring, to be with him. You know what I'm saying? So, you have to be mindful and careful of that because that's a spirit. love
well,
your spirit.
You know what? I wanna dig into that just a little bit. I wanna
well,
dig into that. Not the ice cream, but to what
well,
you said.
Okay.
Now, and this is out of curiosity. So you know, so you say a good smelling guy walks by.
Mm-hmm.
And all of and you smell him, he smells good and everything. Now all of a sudden you're interested and you it prompts you to call your baby daddy, as you say. So
wait a minute,
the
now
question
you gotta say it
is,
like I say it.
The question is, are you really calling for your baby daddy, or are you really in your mind thinking that you wish it was the guy that you smelled?
No, I be calling for my baby daddy because he smells good, and sometimes he smells real good. So no, let me go ahead and say that because he might be listening in tonight. No, I don't know, because I mean he might have one. I like polo black. I like polo blue. I like polo red. Whoever it is might walk
make
by
sure
and have
that.
On a scent that I like. 1 million Invictus. He might have on Tom Ford. I like all those scents, and I'd be like, ooh. Wait a minute. Okay. So, no, I ain't, clear that up. We is on the national television of YouTube. Nope.
but that's something to think about. That's something to think about because there are
well,
people.
Well, I ain't thinking about that. I be thinking about him and Jesus.
You be thinking about him and Jesus. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to leave that right there because you can think about him and Jesus. But this is a serious thing because you said something. An individual walks by, has a nice scent, and because of that nice scent, it's like, okay, let me call my mate, and all of a sudden, you know, you're talking to your mate, but you're thinking about what you smelled. Better yet, I think to myself about the movie – Good Deed, I think it is. Good Deed with the Tyler Perry movie, Good Deed. And Tyler Perry one day was at work and, you know, and interacting with Sandy Newton. I remember, you know, having conversation with her, and it became somewhat of an intimate conversation that night he went home to his wife, Gabrielle Union, and he was intimate with her, and she said to him, "You made love to me like you were making love to somebody else." And he said to her, "Or else I would be predictable, wouldn't I?" And she said yes. So, but this is the mindset of some folk, because you think a lot. You know what's amazing to me that nobody is really interested in you until you get a mate or till you have problems in your marriage. Boy, can we talk about it? Nobody ain't interested in you until you are until somebody else wants you or until you start having issues in your marriage. And I don't know how it is that people can determine you're having some kind of issue in your marriage. But all of a sudden now they want to take care of you. They want to do for you what the other won't do. They want to take you there. They want to make you feel this and make you feel. Come on here. Is this not lust? Is this not what this is? And these are issues that are in marriages and in relationships that people don't want to talk about because now what people want to use is, oh, you just being jealous. Come on, let's be truthful. Let's be truthful. And let's talk about this thing called lust. Come on, help me, somebody.
Well, I gave them opportunity to talk, so I guess I'm going to open the mic and go at it. The Tyler Perry movie that you mentioned, Good Deeds, actually, you know, I think it started when he hugged her and she smelt his scent. And in the smelling of his scent, she drew him, if you notice that movie, she drew him in closer as if to accept him. Now, he kind of, for the first time, noticed how soft and supple she was, and you know that whole scenario. Lust, and we already know what the scripture says about lust. Sin, when it's conceived, it starts with lust, and lust births sin, the whole 20 yards. I'm going to just try to make this real brief. When a man or a woman is thinking about somebody else while in the middle of making love to their partner, usually what has happened is there's been a breakdown in the communication, and that person that is now approaching them is now giving them the required attention that they desire. And so it triggers in their mind that maybe this person really cares about me. What they're not realizing is they're being set up for a fall. You see, just because you and your spouse are having problems, there is no apparent reason for you to want to step outside your marriage. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say you ain't going to see a good woman, but I'm going to remind you what it says in Matthew 5, when Jesus said, "Whoso looketh upon a woman or a man to lust after them hath already committed adultery in their heart," by virtue of the fact that you are in a committed relationship. And because you said, I wonder what it would be like. No disrespect, ladies, please. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. Well, I wonder what it'd be like to be with Flight. She looks like she can get some work in. That's the wrong attitude, the wrong mentality, I just covered myself preferencing.
Okay? Shouldn't have did that.
You know, no, I did that for a reason, because you got to give an illustration. Because I gave an illustration, let's not confuse it.
My baby
Let
daddy
us not
is
confuse
on
the, it.
On this podcast.
Well, baby daddy, go get your work in, baby daddy. Get that ring so you can get that thing. Come on, baby daddy. Anyway, the bottom line is, when you put yourself in that position, you put yourself in a position where you're setting yourself up for a fall. End of story. I mean, lust is nothing to play with. A lot of us tend to think, "Hey, Brandon, how you doing?" A lot of people tend to think that, a passing thought is just that, a passing thought. No, that thought didn't just come out the sky. That thought was already in your mind. You just had no idea until it was exposed to you. I'm going to stop right there.
Oh, wow. Put me in, coach. Hey.
Well, come on. Talk to us. Talk to us.
So. Okay. Now, I'm going to say this. I agree to what you're saying. But I'm gonna say this, and then I'm gonna
go back to the bench.
Disagree. Now I'm going to say that, you know, to my defense, because I like I have four sons, so mm-hmm. I always like for my children to smell good wherever we were going, when they going to school, we're going to church, we're going out to dinner, whatever. I always bought them cologne. Always, always, always. From the time they were five, I bought them cologne. Now, I like a good smelling man. I'm not mm-hmm. lusting after him because I like his cologne. I'm not lusting after him. I can see if I was rubbing on him or thinking. See, people, let's explain the okay. We've done the definition of lusting. I didn't desire to be with him in the bedroom. I like his cologne that he's wearing. There are times when women walk up to me and ask me what scent I'm having on. That don't mean that they lusting after me.
Are you sure?
So let's clarify that.
I don't want it misconstrued in what I said. I mentioned the scripture in Matthew 5 for a reason. Any individual, male or female, that's looking at somebody with desire to sexually be encountered with them, this is that type of lust. Just because somebody has on nice clothes, "I smell good," or "I smell good all the time," and in my wife's presence, women will say, "Oh, you smell so good. Thank you." That's as far as it goes. And in her absence, they'll say it. Now, being in the position that I'm in, I've had women tell me to meet them after service, or their hotel is such and such. I said, "You're telling me this for what reason?" "Yeah, well, maybe we can know. What we can do is say hi and bye right about here." Because I'm not about to jeopardize the time I put into my marriage, the ethics, the work ethics, and all that goes with it. I got a lot entrusted and a lot invested in this union between my wife and myself. And you think, I'll say it the way the late Della Reese said it, I'm not going to take on a moment of pleasure for a lifetime of pain. Sorry about that, sister. You got the wrong party. So that's where I was going with that. Not, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I see a lot of, and I hear a lot of women that walk past me that have on some great smelling cologne. I won't comment because women today, not all, but most I've run across are so up in the air. You give them a comment, the first thing they want everybody to know is you want them. No,
right.
I don't want you.
I hate that.
You know, the only way I'm going to want you, now I'm going to say this, Apostle, and I'm not being funny when I say this. I'll be 64 on my next birthday. I'm at the point and place in my life. Now, you can stand in front of me butt ball naked. If there's nothing attractive
nothing
about
all.
You,
thank
you, exactly. I mean, you could be built from the neck down, 36, 24, 36, with booty everywhere. I mean, if you got a bad attitude, a bad disposition, you stupid. Yeah, I said stupid, meaning you're almost brain dead. No, because you got to remember, if I'm going to turn around and get with you, some spirits that you got will transfer to me. And I don't want the spirit of stupid to transfer to me. So for that reason alone, I'm going to use your words, Flight. It's a no for me.
It's a no for me. Yes, God. But I totally agree. The fact of the matter is, just because, and you're absolutely right, because I've seen it, I've heard men say it on several occasions. You know, you can be saying hi, and all of a sudden you want this person, or you're trying to get in their underwear. You have to think about the type of women that those are, though. Look at it like that. And I'm not trying to deviate from the topic here, but that's some toxic stuff. Those women are very toxic if they think that just because you're saying hi, you want them in the bedroom, just because you're saying good morning, how you doing? They are toxic, and how I know they're toxic? Here's a good definition, because every man that smiles in your face, baby, don't want you. Just because the last 10
Amen.
Guys that did that to you got them and got you in the bed, you are weak. You are very weak.
There you go.
And everybody don't want you, Pooh. You toxic. You are very much
But let's
talk about
this. They're toxic
to themselves, actually. They're toxic to themselves.
But could it be, based upon this, could it be that people who are toxic in this manner, meaning they are lusting, could it be because they have an emptiness within? Because let's think about this. Let's look at this again. The text said it came to pass and in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So what I'm getting at is maybe lust entered into his heart because his heart wasn't engaged where it was supposed to be.
I would agree with that.
Now, you think about this. But you have people who they're in this marriage, and they say this I love my wife. I love my wife. I love my husband. Oh, I'm not thinking about him. I'm already married. But is their heart really engaged in their mate?
The heart can be engaged, but at the same time, the heart can and will disengage. And it's in that moment of disengagement. Let's go back to the scripture. David was in the heat of battle with other kings. And David took a day off and decided not to go visit the front lines. Instead, he took a walk trying to clear his mind. We don't know exactly why he made this decision to take this walk. But in the process of taking this walk, he happens to look and he sees Bathsheba over there cleaning herself. And she is a brick house. Let's just say it like it is. The instinct or the instant mindset of most men, I'm not going to say every man, I'm going to say most men, the instant mindset when you see it is you say, like Adam, whoa, man, you didn't say it like that, but you see that beautiful glistening body as she's bathing and the water silking off of her, and she just happened to turn around and she got booty for days, enough booty for me and you and a dog named Blue. And then she turned around and them breasts are hanging just right, and you know, your Mr. Johnson is doing everything he can to get up and do his morning exercise with Woody. I'm gonna stop right there. I ain't gonna paint too clear a picture. Y'all grown folks. You know where I'm going with this. And I mean, let's just be real, guys. Let's stop fooling ourselves. If you see a woman that's built a certain way in your moment of vulnerability, the chances of you looking upon her with lustful eyes are very, 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 very real. So ain't no sense in us sitting here trying to pretend like we won't. Now, here's the challenge. What do you do after you've gotten your eyes full of all this beauty? Here's where the difference comes in at, because there are some who know how to fight the spirit of lust and will defend and will plead the blood over their mind and pull their thought processes back in. But then there are those who will let Mr. Johnson rise to his full extent. They'll even go down there and pet the fella for a couple of minutes. Now they start plotting, how can I get next to that? That's just being real. Mm.
My God. But this is something serious. Come on, ladies. I want to hear from you. What are you thinking? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? I haven't heard from you, Dr. Kimmy. You got to say something. Take yourself off of mute. Talk to us.
Like I said, once again, when you have lust in your heart, it doesn't tend to last because there's no substance. And so that's why... when God gave us like the guidelines of, you know, of how to live, being lustful and covet is part of one of the laws. So I really believe that when you see someone that is beautiful and you are married, I mean, how do you put yourself in that position anyway? I like the gay bros, how they will say that they don't go anywhere, maybe like for a minute, without one another. And that's how it should be. And like Bishop, you know. So sometimes when you are married and you tend to have yourself open, you're not around your wife or, you know, hitting on you because they don't know whether or not you're married. Because, you know, when you're married, you can really still, when you're happily married, you can still reject those type of advances. They're going to happen. I mean, that's unfortunately the world that we live in. But it's how you answer to your advances. And so when you have God in your heart, you're right.
Okay. Apostle Fleiss, anything you want to add?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking to myself that here is a heart that is not fully engaged with the spouse. And so for this reason, this is why the individual has this longing. Because there are things in this individual's minds. Why doesn't mine do this? Why doesn't mine do that? Why doesn't mine approach me like that or approach me like this? And so all of a sudden, they begin disengaging themselves. And because they're disengaging from their spouse, all of a sudden now there's an interest elsewhere. Now this interest shows up, and all of a sudden, wow. You know, I never saw her like that before. I never saw him like that before. Something completely different now. Oh, wow. This person is glowing. Ooh, this person is shining. Ooh, this person. Ooh, I didn't know this person had that kind of body. Ooh. Oh, wow. Ooh, this person smelled good. I wonder now, is this person available? Better yet, if this person is married or in a committed relationship, I wonder if this person is faithful. I never forget when I lived in Birmingham years ago, I used to work for Radio Shack. You know, they used to say, you got questions, we got answers. So I remember I worked there for some time, and I worked with a young man. Oh, I thought I thought I was the guy to talk to women back then. Of course, being single, I used to do some, I meet a woman that morning, and she, well, anyway, praise God. But I thought, they used to call me Reverend Pimp Daddy because they knew I knew how to talk to the women. But one of my coworkers, he was a little bit worse than me, I think, because, I would wait till outside of work. He would do stuff inside of work. So one day he said to a woman, he says, "Hey, young lady," he says, "I know you're here to get this and get that." He says, "I just want to know, well, are you married?" And she's like, "Yes, I'm married." He turned around and say, "Well, is your husband married?" Got her thinking, I hope he is, because he was looking for an opportunity to share his personal longing with her. Why? Because the way she walked, the way she talked, the way she looked, the way she smelled, Lord, have mercy. May Jesus get up and do a two-step. I promise to God. And so this was his mindset. So there are people who are the same way. Why? Because their heart is not engaged. So what they do is they're looking for something to embrace. And that's what lust is. Lust is looking for something to embrace, something to feel what is longing. Would anybody agree or disagree?
Well, for lust, yeah, I would say that that's really what it is. Lust is looking for satisfaction. Lust is always looking for satisfaction. Whether it's sex, whether it's money, whether it's power, position, whatever the case may be. Why do you think these politicians do what they do? Think about it for a minute. They're not doing this just for their health. They're doing this to get the upper edge, to have the upper hand, to be able to move ahead of their constituents and be the number one guy or the number one girl, whatever the case may be. That's what they've been doing for years. In marriage, it's not necessarily that the husband or wife is looking for the power, the prestige, and the favor. What they are looking for is basically the upper hand, to be the dominant factor of that relationship, to be the one in control and in command. And they want to make you believe that they still have it. A lot of these men, 40 and over, after they've been with the same woman for 20, 30 years, and she pays them little to no attention. And so he starts not dressing up for her, or dressing up to please her. He starts dressing up. It starts out pleasing himself, but then it ends up he's putting on this show to see what can he attract. And when you get in that mindset with that position, you put yourself in a position of vulnerability. I got to say it that way, because 90% of the time you're going to end up with something you don't need. And I will simply say this, the something you don't need might be an STD. The something you don't need is a couple of extra children. The something you don't need is to be on the what's that video show, Cheaters, whatever the name of it is. You don't need
Cheaters.
You don't want to be on Cheaters. I promise you.
Missing in action.
Death Row comes after they catch you. Death Row come out there to catch you. She going to kill you.
Right. One thing for certain and two for sure is that, anytime you step outside of your marriage because of lust, you don't know what you – oh, God.
It's walking into a black forest. You can't see where you're going. Say your eyes wide shut.
Just because you toxic yourself, and I need to go. It's a no for me. Don't nobody have time for that. Like, if you want to lust after somebody, first and foremost, if you don't want to be bothered, don't be bothered. Be by yourself and be unbothered.
Can I just throw something in on what you just said? You have days where you feel like you need space between you and your spouse. And I'll never knock that, because if you need it, you just need it. That's all there is to it. You just need it. But that does not give you a license or a right to go out there and mess up somebody else's life, let alone your own, because you want, for that moment, you want what you want. No, don't do that. I mean, and here's the thing that people don't pay attention to, Apostle. You have a wife who's very sensitive, sensible, very prudent, can take care of business, can handle the house, does so many wonderful things that keeps your marriage and your home moving in the right direction. So here comes Sally Hipster. And Sally Hipstress comes in, and she's walking, and she's switching from side to side, and every time her body moves, your eyes move with her body. But you forgot to think, check out Sally Hipster. Is this woman intelligent? Is she prudent? Does she even have the same qualities as your wife? She may be some hillbilly hick that has the IQ of a peeled cucumber, and here you are trying to get with her. Something's wrong with that picture.
Okay.
I mean, you're getting ready to you're getting ready to trade in a Rolls Royce for a Yugo.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
So,
you know, I mean, this is the stuff we don't pay attention to.
Okay. So here's my question. Anybody and everybody should answer this. How toxic? Well, first of all, if there is a lust problem in a marriage relationship, is it something that is just showing up, or has it been there all the time and somebody just ignored it?
He was that way all the time.
Or she.
or he.
And I'm going to tell you, because I'm talking from experience, because I was the devil's godson before I got saved. Let's just say it like that. I have been, and during that time, I was in the house of married women, and they had to hide me in the closet when their husband suddenly showed up. Okay?
Mm.
Y'all read between the lines. So I wish I could tell you I've been saved all my life. No, I have not. I've done my share of dirt, and the share of dirt has been done to me. But in the end, when you really look at it, what was it really worth it? My answer to that question is no. Or, excuse me, Apostle, you're going to have to pray for me on this one. I'm going to sing y'all a song. Hail to the no, no, no. That's it.
Anyone else? Anyone else want to answer that?
Oh, don't be crazy scared. Say it.
I think that it was there all along. And I think that one of the things that many people do not pay attention to is that when you meet an individual, they can hold up a front for 6 months, maybe a year. But at some point, that real individual is going to show up.
Amen.
At some point, that real individual is going to show up. So here's the thing. Aren't there some kind of signs that this is an issue?
Are.
Aren't there signs? Aren't there signs that, hey, this person is really not into me? This person doesn't kind of, they don't kiss me. They don't reach out. They don't show me no kind of.
Goodbye.
I'm just saying.
What happened? Well, no, think about this. And this scenario, I think, so those of you that have TikTok, you may have seen this scenario. Husband and wife are at a function. And the lady behind the food line is serving, and he shows up. And so she turns around and starts flirting right there on the spot and says, can I fix your plate? The wife hears it and says, no, baby, I got his plate. I'll take care of his plate. Sometimes people will put on a show. They feel you out to see of what manner you are. They'll say snide things. They'll say slick things to you, like, you know, you sure looking good today, girl. You better be glad I'm saved. What's that got to do with the price of eggs? Just say what you're thinking, because you don't went this far, and you don't made your intention known to this young lady. It's your heart's desire to find out what's underneath that skirt. Now, I know it sounds negative, but I'm just simply saying these are games, and I'm exposing a man-town move, basically. If a man wants to really know what that woman is all about, he'll say something slick, and if she responds the right way, he knows exactly where to go after that. If she comes across with that holier-than-thou mentality, let me leave B. Hazel, the word which, you go ahead and substitute any word you want. Let me leave B. Hazel alone before I have to break her down. You know, I mean, let's just be real. This is what happens, man. I mean, it's crazy, but it's the game that we play. The game of lust has never changed. The names and faces may have, but the lust game has never, ever changed. It is still the same. It still uses enticing movement to try to lure you in and to get you to bite the bullet, so to speak.
Mm.
It's been like that for as long as we can remember.
Let me share this. I remember, this is well over 20-something years ago, when I was still in the Boston area, about 25-plus years ago, just a little bit before I met you, Rich, just a little before I met you when I was back in Boston, before I moved down to Alabama. I remember this young lady who was a part of this apostolic church. You know, and she had just turned 18, and she was a full-blown, built young lady at that time. I'll never forget. And she called me, and she said, Whitlow, because everybody up that way called me Whitlow. Whitlow, one of the deacons in the church, he hugged on me, but when he hugged me, he put me against the wall, and he started grinding on me.
Oh, Lord.
So, you know, so now this is in the church vestibule. So when I heard this, being the minister that I was, I called the pastor of that church and expressed my concerns to the pastor because this gentleman was married.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor said, how dare you come to me with this? And this is not your church. You're not a member here. You're not a minister here. You are out of order. I need to call your pastor and tell him what you're trying to do here. I said, so you want to tell me that you are so spiritual that you won't take the time to acknowledge this issue? Really? I said, and you got this individual on your deacon staff? I said, what's wrong with this picture? Well, you're out of order, and I'm going to call your pastor on you and tell the pastor that you meddling in affairs that don't concern you. So the next time I went to that church and I saw that gentleman, I looked at him. I said, if I get another call about you and any young lady in this house, you grinding on her, I said, I promise you, I'm going to lay you out in the spirit after I've laid you out in the flesh. And I mean it. And they thought, you know, they always thought I was crazy anyway. Oh, you know, they thought I was crazy anyway. That's why they would try to stay as far away from me because they know I didn't have it all together because I'd say what I had to say and keep it moving in Jesus' name. So,
folks don't understand bluntness these days.
But these are serious issues. And my thing is, you know, if you married to someone who want to act naive, boy, that's a that is like hitting lottery. If you deal
well,
with if you married to somebody who seems like they're naive, come on here. They're like, oh well, I can do it. I can get away with it.
That's the first thing they're
thinking. Come on.
Go ahead, sir. No, I'm saying that's the first thing they think.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But lust is not something you can get away with. It's a guarantee. So if you're trying, at some point, somebody going to let you know enough is enough. So here's the thing. You got people who are ignoring the signs. My question now is, how toxic to a marriage or a relationship? Because somebody's listening, and they're like, well, you know, I didn't think it would be harmful, especially when you start flirting over here, and then flirting is not enough, so now you're looking for an opportunity to embrace somebody, and when you embrace them, you got a woman who will put her breast all against a man and push into him, or a man who will, you know, get all happy with his willy and want a free willy by pushing up on her. So here's the question.
Apostle, you know how bad it is nowadays? Just so
bad.
Since you're talking about it is so bad, and I'm talking about church folk, okay? And if I'm lying, the person that told it to me is the one telling the lie. They will embrace you, and their hand will slip off their back right onto the butt.
No.
In church. In church.
Uh-uh.
In church.
Lord have mercy.
Okay?
Lord have mercy.
That's how bad it has gotten. Some folk are so blatant and so bold that they will turn around and just, you know, and then they will stand in front of people and make arrangements to meet at a certain spot. They don't say the name of the spot, but the two people talking know exactly what they're talking about, and we'll leave the light on. That's all I need to say.
Wow.
Life in the fast lane, man. We're in a day and age where, and you got to remember, the spirit of apostasy is running rampant in so many different areas. This is not a new area. This is pretty much, I don't like the word protocol, but it's the word protocol I have to use for some people because it's their lifestyle. It's what they do. It's what they've been doing. Nobody has ever stopped them. Nobody has ever challenged them. Nobody has ever questioned them. And as long as you're going to go unchecked, you're going to keep doing what you're doing. And in your mind, let me take you back to a song one Luther Ingram used to sing. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. That's all I need to say.
That's it. That's what's up. That's what's up. So then here's my question. We're coming down to a close. Here's my question.
Just went out. What was the question again?
Yeah.
My phone just I can hear you now. You were saying, I'm sorry.
Everybody hung up?
No, I'm here. I don't know what happened. Sister Kimmy Kim, did we lose everybody?
No, everyone is here.
What happened to Apostle? He suddenly disappeared.
Let me check. He just dropped and he's back on. Okay. Let's just see his phone.
My phone all of a sudden. You know how CC is, Bishop-elect. You know how CC is.
Yeah, she don't get enough attention. She tends to want to walk away.
That's right. But here's my question that I was trying to ask. How toxic is lust to a marriage or to a serious relationship that is headed towards marriage? How toxic? That's what I want to ask.
Now, one more time, repeat that question because I'm having trouble. You broke up on me. This time I think it was my CC that's acting up.
Okay. So my question is, how toxic is lust to a marriage or a serious relationship that is headed towards marriage? How toxic is lust?
Well, I mean, someone already said it. It is extremely toxic. It's to the point and place where you're playing Russian roulette literally with your life. You know, you're playing Russian roulette with your life. And it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. I don't know. God, I'm telling you, wow. I don't know what to say. The toxicity of mankind. And we all know the scripture says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The person that's being toxic deliberately is usually the person who has an agenda. And they will not stop until their agenda has been fulfilled. Okay?
Wow. Okay.
It's something to think about. I mean, you ever notice, and I've had this happen to me already, and this happened to me in the last 22 years of my life. I'm not going to get into the details. As a matter of fact, Whitlow, about the time you came around, I was dealing with the tail end of this thing. But people would listen to the radio, and I had to change the way I talked on radio because I would talk with this low-key, somewhat sultry voice, And I had to start getting up in the air, Kevin Hart kind of thing, you know, get my voice up, because I would get these phone calls, especially if I was doing the 10 to 2 show. And please, ladies, again, forgive me. Please don't comment. I'm just repeating what one young lady called and said. She says, I'm sitting here listening to the music, but every time you talk, my panties get wet. I said, wait a minute, this is a gospel show. How are your panties getting wet on a gospel show? Well, anyway, she was setting me up to meet me somewhere so that we could kind of see what was going to happen with us. And I was married at the time. And like a fool, I met her. Thing in the world I could have ever done. Y'all know how the movie Fatal Attraction was, minus somebody getting killed, bunnies being boiled, and that type of thing? I mean, this individual would not go away. I'm leaving notes on my car. I'm with my wife, and I come out. There's a note on the car. The wife is standing right there. What is that? I said, somebody wanted me to let me know that something was wrong with my car. You know, you're lying to your wife to try to cover up when all I had to do was not ever even bother to go meet this individual. See, sometimes when you talk about lust, it's a two-way street. Lust cannot put the hooks of death into you if you don't respond to it. And had I not responded to that young lady, I would have never gone through what I went through for over a year. You know, a literal stalker, if you could use that word. And I had never been stalked a day in my life until this particular thing happened. So I said to myself, from here on out, if I meet somebody new, I got to be in the company of other people because I just don't know what they're going to do. I even had a situation, let me say this, and I know you get ready to close. I had a situation that when I was single and I was dating, the young lady had two daughters. One of her daughters looked full grown. She was about 16, 17 years old. She looked like a full grown woman. OMG. I mean, if I didn't know any better, I swear the girl was at least 21, 22. And then she had another plain Jane-looking daughter. And, you know, we got close, all of us, and we talked. And there was one day when the younger daughter just jumped in my lap, just jumped in my lap. Later on, I told her mama that I was feeling her. I hadn't touched that girl. But I kind of I understand now, but back then, that I was very puzzled with that. First and foremost, little girl, you ain't even in my league. A number one, you ain't even on my radar. And your sister would have been closer on the radar than you are, but because I'm dating your mama, you don't even qualify. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the bottom line I'm trying to make is simply this. You have to watch. Lust has a double hook, and it hooks from two sides, from the person that's pursuing and the person that's being pursued. When lust is conceived, according to Scripture, it says, the Bible says, it brings forth sin. Lust cannot conceive by itself. Lust has to have a partner. Lust's partner is desire. And in the case of David and Bathsheba, David came with lust, but Bathsheba came with desire. Well, how nice it would be to spend some time with the king, the man who runs the entire country. Think about that. See, we let Bathsheba off the hook, like David just came and just took advantage of her. No, when the king called in those days, you had to come. But she had the opportunity to respectfully refuse. And she did not refuse because her husband was on the battle lines, and he spent more time at war than he did at home with his wife. David, after messing up, tried to send him home to his wife. He went and slept at the door of the castle. Dude, go home. You got this super fine honey sitting there waiting on you, and you worried about a war? I got news for you. If that would have been me, I'd still be alive. It wouldn't be Uriah died on the front lines. Ernest didn't die on the front lines. Ernest died right into Bathsheba, and they got 8 more kids. I'm sorry.
Lord touch him. Lord touch him. But the reality is that, like you said, and like someone else said, lust is very toxic.
Mm-hmm.
It's very toxic. The Bible says this. The Bible says, love not the world nor the things that's in the world. For all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And in my mind, when you are married, your marriage should be your world. And there should be nothing on the outside of your marriage that should draw your attention away from what you have. You prayed for something, better yet, you prayed for someone. Someone that you could love, someone you could care for, someone you could be good to. Now you got this individual. No matter what your differences may be, this is someone you need to love, someone you need to care for, and someone to be good to. Stop looking elsewhere. Stop looking to be fulfilled elsewhere. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says you are to draw from your own cistern. That means you get from your own well. All right? If you want to know how deep the well is, dig in. I'm trying to help somebody.
Come on.
If you want to know what the well got, dig in, because it's yours. Stop going to someone else's well. Stop trying to get it from elsewhere. You don't have to lust after it. You don't have to covet after it, because God gave you your own. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much for joining Making Marriage Meaningful. We pray that something from this conversation has been helpful and insightful and enlightening to you. We are praying that you, your marriage would be better than what it has been, because you're hearing something that will take you into another dimension of living and purpose and love. All right? So we say this every week, and we mean it. Your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. This is Apostle Urban A. Whitlow Jr. signing off for the night, saying thank you for joining Making Marriage Meaningful. We will be back next Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, with more conversation. And it's going to be a hot topic next week. You're going to love to join in. All right. We say God bless you. Go with God, and he will go with you. Dr. Kimmy, you know what to do. We say shalom, shalom. Good night.